You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, it's still coronavirus news all the time, right?
Well, we don't have a choice, okay? No. Because that's everything that's taking up all the air out of the room. And I thought maybe we could have a conversation tonight and just talk about various things that are coronavirus related, but things that affect all of us.
Yeah, and I think that as of this conversation, we're up to somewhere around 9,400 people in the United States, and not quite sure how many people have died. I want to say somewhere around 175. 8 out of 10 of those people are elderly.
Right. And, you know, it was interesting, a couple of the most recent deaths in, I think it was in Maryland, they were talking about the people that were infected and the people that died. And the people that died, this is something that's very, very interesting. And it just goes back over to what you and I have been talking about the two danger groups, right? So the very, very young with pre-existing medical conditions, pre-existing respiratory conditions, things like that, kidney conditions or heart conditions, put stress on the body, right?
Sure.
And then the other one are people above the age of 70 years old and more into the 80s,
yes.
Actually, mm-hmm. with pre-existing medical conditions. You know, they've got pneumonia and it even got worse, or they had pre-existing respiratory problems, or they had diabetes, they had heart, you know, stress on the heart, high blood pressure, these things. Of the people that they looked at in the study, matter of fact, Italy. Okay, so I'm going to go from the United States to Italy because we are looking a lot at what's going on in Italy.
Sure,
okay?
As we should be, and how not to replicate it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So it was extremely interesting that 48% of the Italians that had been affected by coronavirus had at least three, and died, had three or more existing medical problems on board. They had three or more, if you can imagine that. So
yeah.
What would those things be? It could be heart disease. It could be, you know, cardiorespiratory problems. It could be diabetes, you know, obviously kidney problems, things like that, but predominantly respiratory illnesses. That's half of all the people, almost the 25%. So we went from 48, which is about half. So another 25%, because we're going into the other half, had two or more pre-existing respiratory problems or cardiovascular problems or some sort of stress, physiological stress on the body. And then the last third had one. Would you like to know how many elderly people that died from coronavirus in the country of Italy had no pre-existing medical problems?
How many?
0.8%.
Wow.
So that really ought to tell you something. And we can take that information and certainly we can apply that to what's happening here in the United
States.
Well,
and we already are, because we are being very, very careful to let people know that people of a certain age or of a certain health condition should shelter in place, should not be seeing people. You know, it's the whole social distancing thing. And so that's wise information that they got from that. The other thing is that we acted much more preemptively than did Italy. And, you know, I can't even say through Italy's stupidity or anything like that, because this is just an unknown quantity at this point, and they should have maybe acted faster, but they have a different life there, in
culture.
In that they live really on top of each other in these buildings. And if you've ever been to Italy, you see that there's what I would call here more like apartment houses, but not. They're huge, and they're everywhere, and they're thousands and thousands of these rooms. And so people are living on top of each other.
Well, you know, the other thing, and this is one of the things that we love about Italy, and, you know, I'm Italian, and I love to have us go to Italy, and Florence is our favorite city, and Verona, but especially Florence. And the culture of Italy, the European culture, and I would venture to say, because we also live in Mexico part of the time, it is a very communal, very yes. socially oriented culture.
Everybody's right? out and about. Everybody's together. They gather all the time, every day, every night. They gather.
Right.
We are much more of a kind of a solitude type culture. Where, yes, we do our bars and our games and our things like that, but we really are not as social. And a lot of that is because the way that they've built it with the squares. Well,
the architecture, right. The yeah. piazzas, you know, the giant squares, everything surrounded, you know, major.
The outdoor restaurants.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's gorgeous. And we love every bit of that. And the architecture of Europe and the architecture of South America, the architecture of Mexico, you know, in these countries in Central America really speaks to that. The United States is a little bit unique, wouldn't you say? The way we kind of do things here. But you're right. And when you are in such close proximity with each other, you're going to have these problems. Here's something else about Italy. It's a little different than the United States in that they have a huge elderly population.
Yes, they absolutely do. And actually, Italians live longer than Americans as well.
And when you enjoy the Italian lifestyle, which I absolutely do, I could get to doing that full time, tell you the truth. You do understand it once you get the Italian lifestyle.
Yeah, it's how life should be lived, I think. And whenever I'm there, I comment that, you know, I wish that we had built America on that kind of premise with the little local communities and towns and the squares where people, you know, they watch out for each other, they get along. We're just so separated from one another in so many ways that we don't care for our elderly the same way. And we don't, you know, our families get distance and split up in that way, where these people tend to stay together.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, the Italians are a little bit behind with regards to, you know, their medical backup, the technology, you know, the amount of respirators that they have, the amount of support, medical support technology that they use. And I mean, that's just unfortunate. And it kind of caught them with their pants down, so to speak.
Well, and isn't that interesting? Because they are a country that basically is where Bernie wants to take us,
right.
You know, where they have, you know, state health care, and look what that did for them.
Not
a whole lot. And you know what they're doing now is, since they don't have enough, they are literally making decisions on who lives and who dies.
Right.
And I don't think that anybody should have the right to make that decision. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to be one of those people who they just decide that your life isn't worth the same as this person's life. So I think it's tragic, and it should wake up people to say, this is why you don't have your government run your health care.
Yeah, and people need to pay a lot of attention to that. And I think maybe a silver lining, because I'm always, and I know you are, Lynn, we're always looking for various silver linings in this tragic set of, you know, circumstances that is so unique in our history. Now, unique, we've had pandemics, we've had all sorts of things. This particular virus is so contagious, and we are trying to play catch-up football, trying to learn, you know, more about it. And I'll tell you what, I think the President of the United States and I think his team are doing every single thing humanly possible to protect the American people. And I will tell you, and I think you agree, that there's probably some things about coronavirus that they just don't want the American people to know about. Okay,
well,
I think they do.
There's all kinds of theories about this.
And I'm not trying to be conspiratorial here, but I think there's some serious things about this particular disease that maybe, you know, their upper echelons of medical professionals know, and they're just not releasing that yet, because already, look at the panic shopping, the hoarding, the ridiculous things we've seen, even in our little community that we live in here in Texas.
Yeah, and I think it's not just what they might know that they're not telling us, which is possible and maybe even probable, but I think it's also that it's so new, it's what they don't know. And, you know, I've had some conversations with some very knowledgeable physicians, and it, from what they tell me, and these are people that have worked with these kinds of viruses, and people that have worked in Wuhan, and they have said that, you know, it's what we don't know right now that's scary. So if you think that you got over it, you know, you don't know what's yet to come, you know, 5 years down the road or whatever, because this does attack your lung tissue. And so, you know, I mean, there's a whole lot of things about it, but, you know, we don't want to panic people because we don't know. Maybe you get over it and you're over it. You know, we just don't know. So what are people talking about in their homes is kind of what I'm interested in, because we all hear everything the president has to say. We hear the talking heads on other stations. In fact, NBC was one today. They had I guess a big brouhaha on the station between some of the experts and people disagreeing. People walked off the stage. I mean, there's a lot of emotions running high. There's a lot of information out there. I do honestly feel that the president and his team are trying to put out the true information. I was very frustrated in the last few days where I saw a lot of Twitter talk from Hollywood types that were saying that everything that President Trump says about this is a lie. And I don't know where they get off saying that kind of thing. And I don't know where they get their information.
Look, you know, Linda, these people, I do not understand, other than maybe ratings, why the media wants to go to so-called Hollywood celebrities to get information from. These people are almost, you know, it's a rare occasion where a person from Hollywood is not a total train wreck in their own lives. So to me, they have absolutely no credibility. Look, they're actors. That's what they are. Okay, they're not curing cancer. They're not curing coronavirus. They are actors. And it's really nice to sit in your insulated mansion getting illegal aliens to bring you all your food and mow your lawn and make your beds and then sit back and criticize the President of the United States and his team. It's another thing to get down in the trenches and to do something positive for your community. So I don't pay any attention.
No,
to any
I don't
of
either.
That,
but I, you know? But I do want to think about what the average American, and I consider us pretty average Americans, what are they talking about in their home? Like I said, we all get all the news, so I don't want to talk about the news
because that's fine.
We all hear it like ad nauseum, right? But what are their real concerns? And I think that they're the same as our concerns are. And those concerns are, first, I know my first concern is I don't want to get it. I'm afraid to get it. Secondly, I don't want anybody that's close to me to get it because I'm afraid for them to get it. And so with everybody's family, I think that something that we need to think about actually is the same conversation we had with our daughter tonight.
Yeah. And you know what? And that was a distressing conversation for me. I mean, I had to step in with a little bit of tough love, all truth be told. But this is that, you know, of course, she's young, right? She's 30 years old and a millennial. And this millennial mindset, you just want to take them and shake them. Because what are you thinking? Now our you know, daughter-in-law is an extremely intelligent young woman. We're real proud of her. She has two master's degrees in finance and business. She has a wonderful job for a major insurance company. She's beautiful. She's vivacious. She's gregarious. She's fit, but she's not bulletproof. And I think she thinks she's bulletproof. Why don't you share a little bit of the conversation that you had with her before I stepped in and said, stop it.
Well, she said that she was going to go maybe get her nails done. And she and I get our nails done at the same place. And I said, no, I don't think so. Don't go get your nails done. let your nails either come off, take them off. I don't care if they look terrible, let them go until they come off. But don't go get your nails done. Number one, the place is not that sanitary, to be honest. I think that they could clean it a little better. Nice people there. But too many people, that's a very personal thing. Getting your toes done, getting your nails done, that's a very personal thing. And I don't want to be in that place where people are that close to one another and doing those personal things, one on top of the other, all day long, every day.
Well, you know what? And you were 100% right. Why don't you discuss the conversation we had before a couple of days ago about the gym? All right. And how she, when she gets off of work, that's what she likes to do because she's fit. She likes to go right to the gym. And I think she works out for about an hour and then, you know, drives home and, you know, to cook dinner or whatever. But look at that conversation.
Well, actually, she had already made the decision not to go to the gym, but, which I'm glad.
But not on her own.
It should have been sooner, but I'm glad that she made that decision.
Well, I don't think she made that decision until you had a talk with her.
Well, I've had several talks with her about it, but it, and basically have said, you know, that you have to change this or I have to be distant from you because I can't take the risk. You know, you're 30, I'm not 30. So, you know, and I think all of America have these same conversations in their house because the kids do think that they're bulletproof. Look at spring break. Everybody still went to Florida and they were, you know, cavorting on the beach as always.
And they were interviewing these kids on the beach and they were so ill-informed.
Yeah.
And they just felt that they were bulletproof. But I want to go back and pick on our daughter-in-law for a minute. Okay.
No, she's going to give us a really hard time.
No, but listen, who is she married to? She's married to our son. What's our son do for a living? Right? He's a firefighter paramedic. Who, do you think that he's not around sick people? I mean, that guy 24/7 when he's on duty is around nothing but sick people. He's around sick people far more than he is knocking down a fire. A fire is a rare occasion for firemen that do what he does for a living. He's on the bus, he's on the, you know, the ambulance, the paramedic truck, and he is like 24/7 dealing with sick people on 911 calls. So he's getting exposed to all sorts of other things. Look at our other son who's a police officer, right? And he's surrounded by people that he doesn't know. He doesn't know where they've been. They're sick. They're this, they're that. They get into fights. There's all sorts of stuff. And look at what we've had to do this week. And so I had a conversation with our police officer boy out in California, and he and his girlfriend were thinking about coming out to visiting us in April, and we were really looking forward to it. I had to call him and say, "Hey, brother, don't feel bad, but Mom and I really can't have you and your girlfriend." You know, because what is she in? She's in the medical profession.
Right.
She's in radiology, so she's dealing with patients too. Right. So, you know, and I had to call one of my good friends, a working partner who's moving out to Texas. You know, we sold him some land out here. He's going to live in our neighborhood. And what do you think I had to tell him? I had to tell him and his fiance, "Hey, I know you were thinking about coming out in April, but that's not going to happen. We can't see you."
Yeah, we are trying to do what the government has suggested, which is to really stay on our own and not socialize too much and do the grocery store and those types of things a bit at a very minimum. In fact, in our family, we've decided that we will have one designated person for four families go once a week everybody.
Let's have our first cup of coffee because I want to talk about some of the impact strategies that we're using in the Martinelli household.
Okay.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So you wanted to talk more about what people, what our strategies are, and you know, I would also love to hear what other people's strategies are, but for now, our strategy pretty much is to kind of stay on our own, you, me, and Desi Dog, as much as possible, you know, and yes, we see a couple of friends, but very, very few.
Just a couple, and then our own family.
And our own family.
That's right.
But even with our own family, it's as we told them, that if you are going to have this behavior, which I'm not saying is wrong, they can do whatever they want to do, but I just don't want to be exposed to whatever they've been doing. So, I mean, that's a choice that I've made. And I think that we have to do that with this.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we just moved to new offices and we just got everything set up. This is actually our first week in office, in the new place. And, you know, just got our computers set up, got new computers, got our internet phones all set up. Our staff has been doing absolutely an amazing job of getting us moved in with a minimum amount of difficulty. And our new office is actually almost on a campus kind of thing, right? Because we're on about 3/4 acre with really nice offices. And the thing I like about it is it's isolated, you know, somewhat. We're in town, but we're isolated, from other people.
And what we've done is we've had our employees work from home now.
Absolutely.
So they have started working from home, and the only people that are left in these offices are you and I.
Yeah, and that's it. And we're fine.
So and the dog.
So we, that's right. So we leave the ranch, and we go into work every day. And you go into, even our offices are isolated,
yes,
right? You're on one side of the building and I'm on the other side of the building and the dog patrols the neutral zone,
well,
right?
Well, I see enough of you every day. So
yeah, but you know, and I want to talk about that a little bit too, because that's a good thing. You know, that's a silver lining as far as I'm concerned. But you and I, we do our jobs. You know, we're working remotely with clients and then we grab the dog and we come home at the end of the day. And, you know, we're just like every other family. We're cooking dinner. We're doing things and we're doing a talking while married. And our isolation, our social isolation is here at the ranch. And I got to tell you, what better place to be socially isolated than on this beautiful ranch with the river. And I mean, just how it's just gorgeous, and it's springtime and all the flowers are budding. It's wonderful.
We're very lucky. Not everybody is that lucky.
Oh no. How'd you like to be in an apartment next to 5,000 people.
And some of our kids are that way.
Yeah.
If I were in an apartment, you know, I would make that work. But, you know, I feel sorry for one of our boys who is, and they are on lockdown in their town in California, and they cannot go out unless they have to get necessities. And this is probably, out of all the kids, the most social of everybody. So I'm sure that this is just really hurting him. But other families, Ron, you know, some families may not want to be that close to each other all the time. And people are going to really have to figure out how to make this work within their household so that we don't have, you know, anger and miserable people. We've got to really come together as a country and as families to try to find ways to make this work and make it fun. And here's an example. So you were at the store a week ago or so, and you know, I had a list of things that we were gonna need. By the way, I wanna make clear that we're not hoarding anything, and
no,
we're not overbuying anything.
We're absolutely sensible shoppers.
Yeah.
We don't take extra things.
No. And by the way, in most communities, and I'm sure everybody that hears us is the same, there's nothing on the shelves to buy, even if you want to buy something, which is also really frustrating because, like for me, I just had knee surgery, and I don't prefer to take the heavier drugs that they offer me for the pain, and I prefer to take Tylenol. And we can't even find a bottle of Tylenol.
Well, I was lucky. I found, on that particular day we went to the store, I found two small bottles.
Small bottles.
I think there were like 20 tabs in
each one.
Yeah,
one is gone.
Okay. Yeah. But that's what they had. So that's what I got. And you have to be, and I'll tell you what, I'll pat myself on the back, but I think it helps to be Italian and be a decent cook, because I'm looking at what's there and what's not there. And I'm just kind of, thinking outside the box on what kind of meal I'm going to make you.
Yeah, because you couldn't find anything that I asked for.
That's correct.
And so you called me and you said, okay, there's no chicken, there's no turkey, there's no hamburger, there's none of the things that are the most popular. So now what do you want? And I said, you know what? Just get whatever and we will figure out something fun to do with it. Let's make it an adventure. So instead of it being a woe is me, I can't get what I want, let's make it fun. And you know what? It has been fun. It's been fun. The first night, the first meal that you made was excellent with things that were, not our normal fare. So that's right. Great.
Well, yeah. And then what it caused me to do is open up some cookbooks. And you and I were kind of like looking through the cookbooks and, kind of judging on what they don't have in the stores and saying, okay, well, here's a dish that we might want to try. We've never eaten this before. We kind of experiment.
I'm not going as far as your octopus, however.
Oh, man, I got that octopus marinating right now.
I just can't even look at it.
And me and my buddy Dennis are going to eat that whole thing.
Okay. Good, because I'm not. So I don't want to be that adventurous, but that's something that people can do. And the other thing, I noticed that, in our closet, we've had board games in there for a long time.
And puzzles.
And I love puzzles. And, actually board games are pretty fun. So we have Scrabble and we have Monopoly and we have a lot of the board games. And, it's just sit down with your family and play and just be a kid again and be a kid with your kids and be a kid if you have no kids. And,
And I was talking to one of our good friends, one of our international travelers, and he's one of my consultants. And we just love him and his wife, Bob and Connie. And, I said to him, because I'm getting a hold of all my consultants and things and say, how are you doing? How's, checking in with everybody. And he goes, what I'm doing? He goes, I'm going back over all my old movies and my CDs and all this old stuff. And we're listening to music, playing the vinyl records and, doing things like that. And when I heard that, I knew that over in the offices, we had a VHS and CD player. And I grabbed it from the office and I brought it upstairs where all of our collection of things are. And of course, we have a record player.
I love my record player.
And we're just, lining all that stuff up and looking at movies and playing music that we haven't touched for years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I'm doing as much as I can of gardening with my knee right now, but I'm also just instructing you on how to do my gardening. So it's just different things. And again, we talked about this before, but we've done some spring cleaning and, gotten rid of a lot of excess garbage that you collect over time. So there's a lot of things and ways to spend the time that we are all now kind of stuck at home. And by the way, we need to be stuck at home. And it's not going to do anybody any good to be grumbling about it, to be unhappy about it, to let everybody know how unhappy you are.
Right.
Change the attitude and make it a fun experience. And I just got the biggest kick out of watching and reading some of these things today about people who had to cancel their cruises. So one couple, they sat in front of their TV with white robes on and with a picture of the ocean going by on the TV, and they acted like they were looking out their cruise window. And then another family, they did a whole cruise thing, and it was hilarious, where they had people doing all the things, like say that you were going to go to Italy. They had people making stops around the house, shopping. Okay, open a junk drawer and everybody takes something. And, just all kinds of different fun things.
You got to do that. I want to go back to the gardening again because, President Trump said something today that really resonated with me. And you know me, I'm a huge history buff, especially World War II history. And he was talking about, look, we're on a war footing here. Okay.
Yes.
And everybody in America needs to be a foot soldier on this war against coronavirus. And I thought that was a wonderful analogy. And so I, you know, kind of, you know, I've always was very close to my folks. And of course, you know, both of them, you know, Italians, I mean, from right off the boat. And my dad being in the war and everything. And my mom came over before the war, and as a young girl, and they had victory gardens, and she would tell me about, you know, victory gardens. Everybody had to have a victory garden, and, you know, which was vegetables and all that stuff, and how people were saving up for this. And in those days, they would tin and brass and steel, and all of that was a big deal for the war effort. And they would all go around on scavenger hunts, and they would collect all of this stuff. But she was talking about the victory garden. And when you and I were planting our garden this last weekend, and you are a wonderful gardener, by the way, and in our prior ranch, I mean, you grew such beautiful vegetables and fruits. I mean, we hardly ever went to the store and bought that stuff, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, this is exactly what people that have the ability, you know, that have the room, right, you know, in their backyard to plant a garden. And that's what you need, because guess what we couldn't find when we went into the store? The vegetables, they were all gone.
Yeah, well, and you don't have to have a lot of room. There's things that can grow. For example, we have friends who are living in their RV. And so as a little gift, I bought them a
tomato plant
in a bucket. And they have that right on their porch of their RV. And it's already growing tomatoes. So.
And you know what? With hydroponic gardening and you know, ultraviolet lights and things like that, just talk to your friend that's growing cannabis in his house.
Who's growing cannabis?
You know,
I need to know
about
this.
No, but you know what I mean? I mean, you can grow things even if you have an apartment. These days, with hydroponic gardens and everything, and the right nutrients and the right lighting and everything like that, you can grow, you know, vegetables and herbs and everything, you know, right in your house. But anyway, it's just something that a family can do together, that a husband and wife can do together. You know, me doing the hard work and you standing over me and telling me what to do.
You know, I love that.
You know. You ought to see it from my end, lady. But I mean, you know, that's just another thing. And, you know, we've been out on the porch the last few nights because the weather's been beautiful. Hopefully we're going to get some rain tonight. But we've been sitting out on the porch and the weather's been extremely mild. We've been sitting back with a glass of wine and looking at our beautiful Texas sunsets and, you know, just spending an increasing amount of time together. And I like to think we have a really nice relationship. And for me, you know, I would tell people, hey, you know what, if you're there with your wife and everything, this is a wonderful time to fall in love all over again. Find those qualities about your better half that you really like, the reason that you were attracted to them in the first place, and just fall in love all over again.
Yeah, and you know what else people could do? I want to say something about what you just said, but since I have this thought, they could start exercise programs, mm-hmm. you know, at home with their whole family. Things, I mean, there's no reason people can't go take walks and things like that. But the thing about what you just said about, you know, falling in love with each other again, I think this is a perfect time to do that. But I also think it's a perfect time, Ron, for parents to meet their kids.
Oh yeah.
Because I think a lot of parents don't know their kids.
I absolutely
don't know what they're
you.
Learning in school. Don't
yes.
know what they're thinking, what they're feeling, what their dreams are, what their skills are, what their desires are, things that they love to do, things that they hate to do. All these things that we as parents have kind of lost along the way of electronics,
yeah,
and letting schools kind of babysit our kids.
You know what? And let's just talk about that. Let's just talk about that for a minute. And, you know, have a cell phone free night, you know, with your kids. You know, get them away from all the electronics. You might
and
have to break them
away
in.
From the electronics.
Well, me too, you know, but because I'm just as addicted as the next man. But, you know, break them down, maybe do a half a night without electronics, and then just kind of increase that so you have an entire night without any type of electronic stimulus. And there's all sorts of things that you can do. I saw the most fascinating thing between a parent and a very, very young boy. And I think he was about 5 years old. And I'm just going to share it with you. I don't think you saw it. The father was teaching the son about germs. Okay? Teaching the son about germs. And so he had a pail of water, right? And he put, what did he do? Oh, no, wait a minute. You taught, you showed me that. Why don't you talk about what he did?
Well, no, I mean,
it was olive oil. What did he do?
No,
it was pepper. It had pepper.
Well, it says dirt.
Okay.
But it could be pepper. It looks like pepper.
Yeah.
But it could be pepper. Yeah, you put it in a bucket and...
Did he put some olive oil in there too? Some oil?
No, not yet. And he showed the young boy to put their finger in. And when they put the finger in the water with the dirt or the pepper, whatever it was, floating on top... and pulled his finger out, then his finger was full of the dirt, right?
Right, that's exactly right.
And then he had him rub his finger in a bowl of soap.
Correct.
And this was to show the value of washing your hands. So he put his finger in the soap, and he said, now put it back in the bucket with the dirt. So he put it in the bucket with the dirt, and all the dirt moved away from his finger. He had no dirt on his hands. So the kid was so cute because he was laughing hysterically and he couldn't believe it, that it was, this is what happens when you wash your hands and you wash the germs off. So the dirt or the pepper or whatever it was, mm-hmm. was the germs, right? So, yeah.
But it was a wonderful lesson. I thought it was just so cute between a father and a little boy. And that's, you know, I guess, why am I bringing that up? These are the types of things that you sort of have to make up and do with your kids, right? And so go back to reading with your kids and challenging them. You know, if you have an area that's in your wheelhouse that's a favorite topic of yours, you know, it could be history, it could be math, it could be science, you know, whatever, literature. And get back into that wheelhouse and pull out some of those skills that you were really good at and impart those skills, impart that information, impart that education to your kids.
Well, and look at what happened with Steve Wozniak, Ron. Steve Wozniak, the founder of Apple, he was one of those little kids who had a dad who took the time, and his dad happened to be an engineer and knew everything about
electricity
and what makes things work and that type of thing. And he found that his son was interested, but he took the time to know his son and nurture his interest. And look at what Steve Wozniak did for the world.
Yeah, no, he did some absolutely amazing things. And I know you had an opportunity to meet him not too long ago.
Yes.
And I think you said he was what, the most interesting or fascinating person
yes.
you'd ever met
just,
in your life.
Well, just, I mean, one of them for sure. I love his unpretentiousness and I love his curiosity about life. It's still there, probably the same as when he was that 3 and 4 year old little boy. So, but what that took, Ron, was a parent who took the time.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And now
right.
these parents have the time.
Yeah, which is so rare because
yes.
we're all stuck in this together. And you know what? I want to have another cup of coffee with you, and I want to talk about how important it is for us to sort of man and woman up and really follow President Trump's lead about being foot soldiers in this fight against coronavirus.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
So anyway, we're back with our last cup of coffee in the evening, and it's a beautiful, quiet evening. And I was, you know, talking about being a foot soldier in this fight against the deadly coronavirus. And let's talk a little bit about, you know, what the different governments are doing, both federal government and state government, to try to help Americans. Certainly, there's some major inconvenience. There's going to be some definite losses of jobs. A lot of people are going to be just, you know, completely knocked off kilter. And they have to understand that it is better to suffer temporarily from all of these things than to, you know, develop this, you know, disease and get seriously sick or maybe even die. However, you know, the recovery rate, again, you know, we're talking about the two major at-risk, I guess, demographics are going to be the small children with pre-existing, you know, health problems and the older of the senior citizens with pre-existing, you know, medical problems. But let's just kind of talk about what's going on with regards to, well, I guess we'll just start with Texas for a second, okay?
Okay.
And then I'd like you to talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on at the federal government level. We can talk a little bit about that because the president has been on television and he's done a lot of executive orders and decisions, and they're pulling in all sorts of laws that we haven't used in many, many years. But anyway, our governor of Texas is Greg Abbott, and we know Governor Abbott personally. He is probably, I think, in our humble opinions, the best governor that Texas has ever had. The guy is fully engaged with what is going on with the people in the state of Texas. And we have a population here of almost 29 million people. And I don't know what the headcount is today for people who have contracted a coronavirus, but I know that just 2 days ago, it was like 70. And I know now, just in today's news, we had our first coronavirus patient in our county, right, Lynn?
Yes.
And it's in our town.
Right.
So, and I think, what did you say? It was a school teacher?
That's what I heard. Yeah. I don't know that for sure.
So here's what Governor Abbott is doing with his administration. And what he did today is something that has not happened in the state of Texas in 120 years. And then he declared a public health disaster. So this has not happened in a couple of different lifetimes. So here's what he did immediately as of Friday, you know, and then it's going to go initially toward they may extend it, but it's going to go until April 3rd. So it's going to be, you know, about a week that this is going to take place. So number one, and this is what a lot of people are doing. I mean, a lot of governors are doing and a lot of cities and counties, they're prohibiting gatherings of larger than 10 people. So you can't have 10 people, anything larger than a group of 10 people. So what is this going to do? Well, obviously, it's going to stop any kind of sporting event, any kind of religious gathering, you know, bingo. I mean, you name it, dances, concerts, any type of thing where large groups of people would gather.
Restaurants, bars.
Oh, exactly. Things. So here's the next thing. Speaking of restaurants and bars. So the second thing that he's done, he's ordered all the bars and the gyms, you know, the fitness centers, all to be closed. Okay, throughout the state. Everything that he's doing right now is throughout the entire state. Now, he said that restaurants that serve alcohol can do takeout. So they can do deliveries and they can do takeout, and they will, you can order food and you can, you know, drive up to the place and you can pick up your food. And even if you're ordering alcohol, you can, you know, with
you drive up to a Mexican restaurant, you want a margarita, you can get the margarita to go now.
With the proper ID.
Yep.
So they're letting that go. All right. The next thing, which when we just discussed, so that's two things. So he's forcing the restaurants to switch to takeout or delivery.
Right.
So the fast food restaurants, which really kind of started this, you know, McDonald's and Burger King and, you know, a Whataburger and all of these things that we have, they're not letting people inside the restaurants anymore. You can only do the takeout, okay? Or you can order delivery. The next thing that he's done is he's closed all the schools. So all the elementary, preschool, middle school, high school, colleges, universities, all closed. And so that means, and for the foreseeable future, by the way, we've talked about going throughout the school season, you know, which ends in May, end of May or June, something like that. And so that's going to force a lot of online education, right? So people are scurrying, schools are scurrying for online education, and teachers are now being forced to use maybe like Skype or Zoom or some other type of entity. And then, and this is kind of one that's sad, but it's prohibiting visitors at nursing homes.
Well, okay. You have to do that right
gotta
now.
Do it.
Yeah,
gotta
because
do
the numbers of people that we've had that have gotten coronavirus and died in nursing homes has been atrocious. So those are good steps. And, you know, interesting that you should bring that up, because I want to bring up what California is thinking about this. So we have our favorite governor, Governor Gavin Newsom. Right.
And you've been talking to our friends and your workers in California and getting a lot of this information
yes.
as well.
Yeah. Well, he has basically also declared an emergency, and he has asked Congress for $1 billion to support his medical response, right? But what's in California, there has not really been that many people that have the coronavirus nor that have died. But he's having this response. He is telling people in California that they project that 25.5 million people, 56% of the population in California, will be infected. I think that's a terrible thing to tell people.
Well, you know what? Okay. Neither one of us are fans of Gavin Newsom. And I'm just going to be opinionated here. I think it's total BS. I just think it's total BS. And I think and because of what he's asking, and Linda, maybe you can go over that a little bit as far as, you know, the subsidies for people that are going to be off work and things like that, far exceeds how long a person would have coronavirus. Okay. And I just will say this. I think that this is a step by Governor Newsom to trap the people into being permanently government subsidized so that they are beholden. They get addicted to getting that check, not working, and then voting for Democratic politicians that would keep that money flowing. It's just like permanent welfare.
Right.
Okay, which is a Marxist state.
Well, I mean, this guy is just, this is shameless what he's doing. So he did request an expansion of unemployment insurance benefits, which is a good thing at this time, but an expansion, not an extension. He's asking also for an extension. So the time right now is 26 weeks, and he wants to go far more than that. Why? I mean, nobody has coronavirus for 26 weeks. The maximum that they have it is 4 to 8 weeks. And those are maxes. Most people are over it in 2 weeks. So why would you go to 26 weeks? Why? Because then they can collect more money from the business owners and put it in their state coffers. And that is all that this guy is interested in. He also is asking for more Medicaid, federal food assistance, housing and homelessness assistance, state subsidized early learning and childcare, and several other programs. What do some of those have to do with coronavirus?
Well, you know, the other thing is this not the same governor that just a month ago was bragging about the state surplus being
yes.
in excess of $22 billion?
And now so, he says he doesn't have it.
Well, yeah. Well, he had it last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, and here's the number. So 19 people have died in California, and 958 have tested positive in the whole state out of, you know, 40 million people or
that,
something.
And I was going to say, so, they've got about 40 million people
so
in California.
He has also, just as you and I are speaking, locked down the whole state from working.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That includes my business now. That means that I have to shut my doors in California, and I'm a service business. I'm a small company.
Can we talk about that for just a second without it getting, you know, too personal?
Well, because yes, because millions of people are going through this right now, Ron. Every single small business owner in the country is going through this. And we all have the same thoughts and worries.
Yeah, and I just want to have that conversation about one of the things as a business owner, Linda. What are some of the things that you're really concerned about?
My first concern is for my employees. I've had some of my employees for 30 years, and it would break my heart to lay any one of them off. That would break my heart. And I know that so many other people feel the same way I do. Now, if you have a big, large company, you probably have some safety nets. You're making more money than a small business person. Small businesses are really hand to mouth, right? We don't have a big safety net. We make money in a month, and generally by the next month that money is gone. You have to make more money. You don't have this giant safety net to protect yourself, to be able to pay all of your employees, you know, for a week, a month, 3 months. You can't possibly do it. So therefore you have to look at laying people off. The thought of breaking their heart in that way breaks my heart. So that's number one. And I know thousands of people feel the same way I do. Next, you worry about something that you put everything that you have in your life into this business. For me, I've built a debt-free business. I've built a very ethical business. It's been a, you know, very well-loved business. And to have it go from millions of dollars to nothing overnight, because now, you know, you have to close up, I don't even know what to say about that. And I know, Ron, that so many people in this country feel the same way as I feel. That's my family. I mean, the people, the company, the customers are all part of who I am, and it just got taken away. And not because somebody was mean, but because an act of God
that you had nothing to do with.
That becomes very scary. It becomes very scary for every small business owner in this situation in the entire country. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay what employees I have left? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay, you know, my taxes? How am I going to do all the things that I have to do that don't go away when I close my doors?
Right.
So, and I'm not saying that anybody's doors are going to be closed, although some people's will be closed permanently.
Oh, I think, absolutely. I think no doubt there will be people, especially fledgling companies, fledgling restaurants,
sure,
things like that will not recover from this ever.
I'm not one of those people. I feel confident that we are going to recover and bounce back. But the time in between is going to be very, very difficult. And it's going to be difficult for the foreseeable future after that, because you're going to have to pay back all that. For me, for somebody who's never had any debt in my business, to have to, you know, incur debt in order to stay afloat, that's a scary thought for me. So
You know what, Linda, mm-hmm. they've also floated, you know, these small business loans.
Yes.
The idea, I don't know if you heard this yesterday, that they're talking about forgiving the debt.
Yes, and I am absolutely going to be looking into that, but they need to pass it first.
Oh, no, they need to pass it before they can leave.
That's right. So there are a number of things that they've done. And listen, you can't fix this. They're doing the best that they can. So they're giving everybody $1,000. And that's great. $1,000 is not going to go very far for almost anybody.
That $1,000 basically could be gone in a day, could be gone in a weekend, depending on the amount of bills people have.
Oh, it'll be gone for most people easily in a day. So yes, it's a nice gesture, but it's not going to fix it.
Yeah.
Now, the small business loans to pay people to stay on, if I could pay my employees to stay on, I would absolutely do that, knowing that they were going to forgive those debts.
Right.
And anybody would be foolish to, without that assurance, to go take loans and hope that, you know, that things work out in the end. That you just can't do that. You just don't have that luxury. Big companies, completely different. So, you know, I empathize with every business owner, Ron, because I understand how painful this is for people, how very, very personal it is, and how much it really hurts people. And I don't have any answers for it because I'm in the same boat, and that puts you in the same boat.
Yeah, you know, my business obviously is different than yours, you know, in that you've got a lot of full-time people. I've got a couple of full-time people, and everybody else are, you know, independent subcontractors. I think the paradigm of what I do for a living, which is forensic investigations and testifying and death cases and things like that, I'm already seeing just in this very short period that it's going to change, and it is changing. First of all, the trials are all being postponed. Right, because you can't hold a trial because you can't get 10 people together, right?
Right, 12
people. The courthouses are all closed. The district attorney's offices and public defender's offices, everybody's working remotely. And I think that we're going to do, and I'm completely set up for this, did this for a long time, to do video depositions, mm-hmm. you know, video testifying. We have in our new offices, like in our last offices, we have an entire media room. So we've got the cameras, we've got the sound gear, we've got the lighting, we've got everything we need. My, you know, 25 of my consultants are all, I'm calling every one of them. Everybody's prepared. They all understand what's going to happen. Some of them will be getting some equipment so they can do video conferencing and depositions and testimony. But we don't know what the caseload's going to be like in the future. I mean, the whole paradigm of the criminal justice system is going to be forced to change almost overnight. So we have no idea where that's going to go.
And I think that's what's worrying a lot of people, is the unknown. I mean, there's so many unknowns here, and it's causes a lot of stress. So, you know, if I was to say anything to people, it would be understand that everybody else is in the same position, and we all have to get through this, and we all have to make the best of it. And you know, there are silver linings. You have to look for them and make them happen.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, the silver lining for me, if work kind of slows down a little bit, you know, we've got our wonderful startup online company, ETC Forensic. More law enforcement officers and forensic professionals are not going to be traveling for training. So there's a wonderful opportunity there. You know me, I love to write my fictional books. And so my Wade Justice Texas Ranger series, it's going to give me more time to write the books. And if you're not doing as much work on your side, you're the best editor I've ever had. I'm going to probably, you know, say, hey, can you spend more time editing books? I could probably punch out one book every 4 months. And then Martinelli and Associates will continue as always. And then I would just encourage people just to think outside your wheelhouse and think about rebranding. Think about something that you can do to continue to make money. But I, you know, as we close our evening conversation, we just want to say God bless to everybody. Hang in there.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Be
stay
a foot
healthy.
Soldier. You know, we're all in this battle together. You know, don't be divisive. You know, think about your fellow American, and God bless America.
And God bless America. If you get really bored, turn on Talking While Married.
That we hope people will get addicted to. You ready?
I'm ready.